Welcome back to His Time on this Good Friday edition. It is time for Creation Club. Good morning, Pastor Worth.
Good morning, Andy.
What do you have for us this morning for the special edition of Good Friday Creation Club?
Well, I was thinking that maybe we could juxtapose details of the Genesis account of creation with the gospel accounts of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, that sounds very interesting. Let's take a look.
Okay, let's do that. You know, how does the Bible begin? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you know, when we get to the Gospel of John, John's Gospel begins that way, doesn't it? In the beginning was the Word,
right.
And the Word was with God, the Word was God. So, you know, we have a connection to the New Testament right there, the Old and New Testament connected because it's the same God, you know, and Jesus, the Son of God, was present at creation. You know, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. That certainly is what John declares there. And that not only has to do with Jesus and his earthly life and ministry, his working of miracles and so on, all of those showing his power as creator, stilling the storm, healing the sick, raising the dead, turning water into wine, all of those things certainly show Jesus as creator and God. But especially when you get to the crucifixion and death of Jesus, you know, there's amazing connections to Genesis and the story of creation. So why don't we look at some of those now? You know, when God created, one of the first things he said is, "Let there be light," and there was light. And he separated light from darkness. And then later in the creative week on the fourth day, when God created the sun, the moon, and the stars to give light upon the earth and to govern day and night, you know, the time of light and darkness was then governed by these celestial bodies that God put in place. When we get to the crucifixion, what do we see? And here is Jesus, who is the light of the world, and then he's going to suffer and die on a cross. And even in the realm of creation, in the realm of nature, we see evidences of what's happening that day, the judgment of God being meted out on the Son of God, the righteous one who is dying for us unrighteous ones, the guiltless for the guilty. The sun itself stops shining. You know, from noon until 3 o'clock, the evangelists tell us on the day when Jesus was hanging on the cross, the sun stopped shining and darkness came upon the face of the earth that day. And so think about how in the beginning, God created light, separated light from darkness. He made the sun to shine, and yet at the very time of day when the sun would be at its zenith, shining in all its brightness, you know, Luke puts it this way, the sun failed. You know, think of that. The sun failed and darkness came upon all the word that's used in the Gospels is all the gay, you know, from, you know, the word for earth. It can be land or it can be earth. A lot of translations these days say it came upon the whole land, making it sound like it's just a localized thing. But you wonder, you know, what was the whole earth in darkness at that time? I know some commentators say, well, the way Luke puts it, when he says the sun failed, that would make it seem that darkness did come upon the whole earth. And whichever it was, you know, God knows, and sometimes there's a little ambiguity in the text, and we need to be careful in our interpretation. But the point is this, certainly Jesus came to atone for the sins of the whole world, all sinners. And so it certainly makes sense that as God is manifesting in the created realm, evidences of what is going on beyond what human eyes could see, Jesus hanging on the cross. You know, you see the sun itself stopping with its sunlight so that darkness comes upon the earth as Jesus, the Son of God, is suffering and dying for the sins of the world. And, you know, in that time period, you know, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So there's Jesus dying for our sins on the cross. And, you know, it's just an astonishing thing to kind of put those things together. But there's so much more also that goes on if you compare these things. You know, think about it. You know, the sixth day, Friday, you know, it's the sixth day of the week, you know, and during the week of creation, it was on the sixth day that God created man. He also created all the other land animals on that day, but he created man on that day. And when God created Adam, what does Genesis 2 tell us? Well, God formed man out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So on this sixth day, you know, of the week that we call Holy Week, so when you get to the kind of the climax of what's going on, Jesus suspended upon the cross, suffering and dying for the sins of the world. What's happening there? Finally, after Jesus has atoned for all of our sins and cries out with a loud voice, you know, he breathes his last. So he expires and gives up his spirit in that death as he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So again, it's just fascinating to meditate upon that and reflect upon how with the first Adam, you know, God formed him from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became alive and a living being. And here, the second Adam, the last Adam, Jesus, who comes to atone for the failings of that first Adam who was disobedient, Christ, the perfectly obedient one, after he has accomplished all that is necessary for our salvation, for our redemption, can cry out, "It is finished," and then, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," and he expires and gives up his spirit, breathes his last. It's just, again, a fascinating thing to put those things side by side. And there are so many other things we can think about. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, John's gospel tells us that the soldiers came and they broke the legs of the criminals on either side of him, who were crucified on either side of him, to hasten their death because the Jewish leaders didn't want their bodies hanging on the cross on the Passover Sabbath day. And when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. So what did one of the soldiers do? He took his spear and he thrust it up into Jesus' side. And what came out? John, as that eyewitness, says he saw a sudden flow of blood and water come out, indicating that Jesus was already dead. And, you know, what of that blood and water? You know, people like to make a lot of different thoughts about the significance. Well, certainly there's the medical point of view and the physiological fact that Jesus was dead, and this proved it, and that if he hadn't been dead, that would have finished him off. But we're thinking of the blood and water coming from his side, and, you know, our brains immediately think of things like the sacraments. You know, we think of the water of baptism and the body and blood of Jesus given to us in the Lord's Supper, and how this gives life to the church. Going back to Genesis, we think when God created Adam, how did he make Eve, his bride? Well, he took from his side and made a woman and brought her to the man. So the man can say, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh." She should be called woman because she's taken out of man. So you think of the bride of Christ, the church, believers, and we draw our life from Jesus. And, you know, as his side was pierced and out came blood and water, you know, we can think of a connection there too. The church, you know, is born of the side of Jesus. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is born of water and the word, sustained by the body and blood of Jesus given us in the Lord's Supper. So there are things that come to mind there as well. And one could go on and on with many other things. Man was created in the image of God, you know, to be like God in holiness and true righteousness. And yet when Adam disobeyed God, you know, we lost that image of God in the proper sense. And because of our sin, we're not in the image of God until God himself recreates that image in us, as he does, you know, when the Holy Spirit works in us, repentance and faith. And already in this life, then, in our baptism, there's a beginning of the restoration of the image of God in us. But the perfect fulfillment of that image of God in us will be restored in the resurrection on the last day. Other things we can reflect on in this regard, too. Think about thorns. Thorns and thistles came in as a result of man's sin in Genesis 3. You know, God curses the ground because of man's disobedience. And so then in the crucifixion, you know, what is it? Thorns are there and a crown of thorns placed upon the head of Jesus, adding to his suffering and torment by those who hated him and put him to death. And you think of Christ himself in his death. On the sixth day, you know, he pays for our sins. And then on the seventh day, the Sabbath day, where is Jesus? Resting in the tomb. So in the creation account, you know, when God had finished all his work of creating, he rested on the seventh day. So Jesus, when he had finished all our work of redemption on Calvary's cross, on the seventh day, he rests in the tomb. And then what happens on the first day of the following week? Jesus rises from the dead in victory over sin and death and hell. And there's a new creation. You know, the first day of the week is sort of the first day of the new creation, the first day of creation being restored by the death and resurrection of the Savior. The new paradise will come because of Jesus. And, you know, even in this season of Lent, you know, in one of the collects that we often speak in connection with the proper prefaces of the season, as we get into the service of the sacrament, we talk about, as by a tree, you know, man was once overcome, you know, so by a tree, the Satan who overcame us will be overcome by Christ our Lord. And so, you know, you had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life in paradise, and Satan used that tree of the knowledge of good and evil and tempted Eve and Adam to disobey God and brought sin and death in the world. And so by a tree, the tree of the cross, you know, Christ atones for our sin and conquers sin and death and hell. And, you know, in Genesis 3, you had the promise of the coming of the Savior, who would be the seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head. And so here's Jesus on the cross, you know, the seed of the woman, biological descendant of Eve, and also one born of a virgin, yet he comes and by his suffering, being wounded for us, crushes the head of the serpent and destroys the power of Satan over us by his death and by his glorious resurrection. So there, too, there's just so many interesting connections.
There are. I mean, from the very beginning when you were talking about light till all the way through to the trees, thinking about that tree in the garden, which was alive, which led to sin and death. And then we have this cross, which is a dead tree, on which the second Adam or the last Adam dies to bring life.
Absolutely. You know, it's just the paradoxes are astounding, and then parallels and the connections. It's just really interesting to see that. And then, you know, when you get to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, you know, isn't it interesting that paradise is restored there? And what do we find but the tree of life? And so while God expelled Adam and Eve after they disobeyed, so they could not eat of the tree of life and eat and live forever like this, sinful, corrupted, contaminated with suffering and all the terrible effects of sin in us, in the new creation, in the resurrection, when Christ comes again on the last day and raises us up and gives us our glorified bodies, you know, then we do at last appear with him in the garden, in paradise, and eat of the tree of life and live forever like that, the way God intends. No more sin, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. It will serve the Lord in glory and joy and peace forever. What a wonderful promise that is. What good news that is, all because of Jesus.
All true. No more lies. No more, you know.
That's deception.
Right. No more deception. That's what we talk about every Friday.
Right.
The truth of God's word and where we come from and whose we are. I mean, that's all truth. No more lies. No more having to discern between theories and truth.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because God's love prevails, God's grace prevails, God's truth prevails. All of that in the Word made flesh, Jesus, who came to be the perfect Adam, to undo what happened with our disobedient first parents, our own sinful disobedience, more than atoned for. You know, where sin did abound, there did grace much more abound. That in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. What a great message for us on this Good Friday. Thank you, Pastor Worth, for taking some time to take us back to the Scriptures and see how our creating God and our redeeming God are one and the same.
Absolutely.
All in Jesus.
Amen.
Well, coming up in a little bit, we've got morning prayer on this Good Friday on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.